Hello there. We're Vince and Elliot McNally.
Yes, the great-great-grandsons of map-making mogul Rand McNally.
And we'll be your hosts and tour guides on a trip across America, one small town at a time.
In the spirit of our great-great-grandfather, we're traveling the country writing the family's first almanac in over 50 years. Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers' comprehensive guide to small-town America.
Each week we'll be in a new town, and after getting to know the place and the people, we'll tell you, the listener, all there is to know.
In a show we call These Parts, a podcast putting towns on the map.
Bonjour, listeners. I'm Vince McNally, one of your hosts. That makes the man to my left, my brother, my friend, my travel companion this week, and luckily every week, Elliot McNally. Thanks for joining me, Elliot. Thanks for taking this long, winding journey with us. And this week, it's even longer and windier than usual, I would say.
That's very true, Vince. And give me 1 minute just to inhale here. Do you smell that crisp mountain air?
Oh, it's been burning the soot off my lungs all week.
The air quality is way better than we're used to on the road. We couldn't be happier to be in the town that we're in today.
I think a lot of it has to do with the fact that we still haven't gotten the exhaust pipe fixed on the RV. It's been many months now, and it still backfires into the cabin of the car.
Yeah, I don't know why the mechanic bent it so it goes into the passenger side window. It's kind of weird. But he assured us it was fine.
I think it might have had something to do with how you slapped his Philly cheesesteak sandwich out of his hand and said, "Meat is murder."
He had that coming. You know, just eating that sandwich right in front of us.
I think, most importantly, though, you mentioned the bright, fresh mountain air. And that's because we're a couple hundred feet above sea level, aren't we, Elliot?
We are in the state of Colorado today, a state that our great-great-grandfather, Rand McNally, loved, particularly because he loved skiing. He actually, Vince, invented the sport of snowboarding so that skiers would have adversaries.
He was a huge opponent to monopolies in America, and it was a draconian opposition to that idea that led him to create competitions for a lot of things that didn't necessarily need competitions. Mm-hmm. Now, I think in retrospect, we would all thank him for his contribution to the world of extreme sports. If I remember correctly, the first ever snowboard was an extremely lacquered map.
Very true. It wasn't as durable as today's snowboards, but that's actually one of Rand McNally's schemes. He invented this to be, you know, lesser than skis. He didn't want people who snowboarded to measure up to skiers. And maybe, you know, Vince, it might be my McNally blood just acting up, but I just hate snowboarders so much.
Elliot, I think hatred for snowboarders is just a good litmus test for your viability as a human being.
Yeah, I would wholeheartedly agree with that, Vince. Do you want to put this town on the map?
I don't want anything else more in this whole wide world, Elliot.
Let's do it. So listeners, take out your comprehensive Rand McNally U.S. wall maps. Maybe you have the original version. Maybe you have one of those original lacquered snowboard versions.
Hard to come by.
They are hard to come by. We are now offering some original replica Rand McNally maps, replicas of original renderings he did, available for purchase on our website. You have to understand that a lot of these original replicas, though, might not be in the shape of the United States as you know it. You know, sometimes Rand would just kind of draw whatever he felt like, and it led to a lot of people getting very lost out on the frontier.
The early days of cartography was much more of an art than a science.
It was laissez-faire.
Certainly was. Elliot, we got to reach up pretty high to stick this pin in today, because we spent most of the week dangling in the air, didn't we?
That's true. And we're also reaching up high because we have the 3D topographical map.
Yes, this one is a real pain to move from city to city because it weighs over 115 pounds. That said, I'm really glad we have it on hand for this specific city. Let's not dawdle anymore, Elliot. Let's introduce the city and our esteemed guest.
Yeah, so guys, we're in Venice, Colorado today. Venice is a sister city of course, Venice, Italy. And just like Venice, Italy, there are no roads here. The roads are an intricate linkage of raised elevated gondolas. And here with us today is one of those gondola drivers. Can you introduce yourself?
Hey, boys. My name is Martin Fuller. And I'm one of the gondola drivers here in Venice, Colorado. Oh, it's been fun palling around with you guys.
I wouldn't go so far as to palling around, but it's been fun talking to you this week, too. Martin, would you grab a pin out of our pin barrel and reach way up high and stick it in Venice, Colorado?
Absolutely. I'm one of the tallest people in the world, so this should be easy. Here we go. Oh, a couple of skis. That's kind of a cool pin. Here we go. Oh, right there. How's that, boys? Can you see it?
I'm squinting, but I can see it. Martin, you already brought up that you're one of the tallest people in the world. How did you get into the profession of gondola driving where you have to squeeze into these very tiny gondolas?
Well, I started out kind of doing things that made sense, like playing basketball and working on farms with big trees on them and, carrying kids around during concerts so they could see the stage. But, it's easy. It's easy, and the Fullers like a challenge. So I looked at different things, kind of squeezing into clown cars. Basically, it ended up just being squeezing into small spaces, and I landed on gondolas in Venice, Colorado.
Truly no better place in the United States for it, I have to imagine. The system includes over 1,000 cars and over 10,000 miles of tracks, linking in some very small portions or some very large portions. What kind of things do you experience as a gondola driver? Besides the cramped conditions, you must see many, many different faces throughout the day.
You think you would, but honestly, it is mostly discomfort. For the most part, I have to keep my head down so I can't make eye contact with most of the people. I just kind of get to know them through the smells of their bodies and generally like the sounds of their voices.
But that's a good point. I don't like my cab drivers to make eye contact with me anyway. Do you, Vince?
Actually, I have to disagree. I like a long, intimate stare in the rearview mirror throughout my entire journey. But I realize I'm in the minority.
It sounds very dangerous, Vince.
One might say that. Another might say, looking into a man's eyes to see his true intentions is the safest thing anyone could do. I digress, though. Martin, why don't you tell us a few things that someone new to the town would need to know, something that we might not guess about a city that is, no roads, all elevated gondolas.
Right. Well, first of all, not only are there no roads, there's the negative of roads. Just like so some people know that gondolas are the boats that people used to go around in.
Yeah, over in your sister city, Venice.
Right, yep. Exactly. So we're modeled almost exactly like that city. And so we just have these deep valleys under all of the cars that the gondola cars. And so the falls from any of the wires are even more devastating than they would be on just a normal flat surface, because you just end up in a pit, and all the pits are infested with snakes.
Where did the snakes come from?
Mountains, I guess.
Oh, mountain snakes?
I mean, mountain snakes are a pretty well-known phenomenon, but correct me if I'm wrong, I spotted a few Amazonian and rainforest snakes down there on my latest trip. Are some of these snakes imported for effect?
We thought that we could solve the snake problem by bringing in some, like, not native snakes. So bringing in other kinds of snakes, anacondas, some of those kind of water snakes that can just slither across the surface of the water. They died pretty fast.
Seems like a lot of trial and error snake filling.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, we cut the legs off of a Komodo dragon and try to see what that did, but they just bled out. They seemed pretty pissed.
So my question was going to be, why aren't there any roads? And, I could kind of put two and two together. This town is an old mining town, and you couldn't build roads so steep back then, but you were talking about how we have these big valleys, and I was thinking, mm-hmm. why not just fill those with asphalt or whatever, make roads? But you bring up the snake point, and so that's pretty valid. You still have to stay very elevated above ground to avoid the snakes.
Right, and honestly, we never really thought of that. Now thinking about it, if we filled those valleys with cement, that would take care of the snakes and also take care. So, you know, I'll bring that up at the next Tollenhow meeting. Thank you, Elliot, for that idea.
That's what Vince and I like to do. We like to come to a town with an anthropological bent, but we also like to help people.
It's true. It's a quality that's been in our family for generations. And I think a quality that's been on this show for months should resurface again, Elliot. A feature that you and I both love.
Vince, I think you're alluding to our next segment, Towning Around.
Sorry.
Do you have a theme song for Towning Around?
No, it was just beep, beep, beatily do.
So, listeners, we know that when you hear about the towns that we visit, you might want to visit as well. And when you do, we want you to be well prepared to see what and where exactly you should go to get the most out of your trip. That's why we do Towning Around. And not only do we talk about what's going on in the town, but we do a little audio tour for you.
This is kind of a direct extension of my and Vince's Almanac, Towns and Country, the McNally Brothers Comprehensive Guide to Small Town America. We wanted you to be able to read what we experience, but we also want you to be able to hear what we experience. And so we have these audio tour segments. They're available on our website. Most of them are several hundred hours long. Vince and I don't believe in editing. We don't believe in cutting at anything out, because anything in a town we experience could happen at really any moment.
That leads to a lot of footage, which is just the camera pointed at the city on top of the RV while we sleep for 16 hours.
I also don't understand why we use a camera if they're just audio tours.
I mean, it's because the sound quality on cameras is progressing faster than on voice recorders, Elliot.
Is that true?
That's technology 101.
Yeah, I've heard that. I've heard that.
Oh, you've heard that too, Martin? Okay, I guess maybe I'm just behind the times. Vince, this Towning Around is going to be a little different, but I think it's going to be a real treat for listeners. As we all know, Martin hosts his own show, Gondola Confessions. Mm-hmm. Yep, and
that's so right.
You've been doing that for about, what, 12 years now, Martin?
That's how long I've been doing it, recorded by video or sound. I've been otherwise taking notes for over 40 years before the Taxi Cab Confessionals was ever on air. They kind of stole my idea, and I've been in legal litigation with them for, oh God, I can't, probably 12 years now. Whenever they came onto the, I don't know, I don't remember. It's, oh boy, I'm getting kind of mad just thinking about it. I don't want to talk about it anymore.
That would explain why there's so many Brooklyn cabbies around trying to, you know, mess with the gondolas, rattle a few cages around here.
We get a good shipment of them in every year, and they try to mess with us. But we've become pretty adept at dealing with them. If you just kind of throw some salt at them, they kind of shy away like a slug. And it was another trial and error thing for us. We eventually landed on salt because we had kind of run out of other things to throw at them. And of course, it's always the last place you look.
So you tried snow, I think. Did you try snakes?
We tried the snakes. That made them stronger. They actually became friends with the snakes and were able to talk to the snakes, kind of like a parcel tongue from the Harry Potter franchise, which is very popular here. But we like the good guys in that story, not the bad guys.
I think that's true of all of us.
Oh, not the Brooklyn. Can I swear on this?
Yeah, go right ahead.
Nah, I'm not gonna. It's good to know that I can, though.
Yeah, I think a swear is most powerful when you use it sparingly. But, you know, something that we didn't use sparingly was our time in the gondola. So today we have an audio clip from Vince's gondola confession, and we have an audio clip from my gondola confession.
That's right. We thought it would be most authentic to the format of the show to do it separately and to talk about, you know, whatever was on our minds with you, Martin Fuller, the professional gondola cab driver and, dare I say, therapist. Elliot, why don't we fire up yours to start?
Sure. I think we had that queued up. Let's go. All right. Hey, listeners. This is Elliot McNally and Martin Fuller. I am in a gondola. Martin, are we, what would you say, like 30,000 feet up right now?
Yeah, about 30,000 feet up. And you know what? Elliot, if you could just close the door there, that'd be great. I can't really move.
Whoa, and a snake actually just jumped in the window. Hold on, let me just shoo that out.
Thank you. Those jumping snakes will get you. You're getting the full treatment here, buddy.
You know, it's actually good to just be away from Vince for a while. You know, we are in the RV together all the time. You know, something that I wanted to confess to you is that when I knocked that Philly cheesesteak out of that mechanic's hand, before we got on the road.
You knocked it. Hold on a second. Let's wheel it back a little bit, okay? Piece by piece. Why'd you knock a Philly on the ground? A good classic Philly.
Well, it's because I'm a vegan, you know? Or
what?
Yeah. I don't know if you guys have those around here, but I don't eat meat. And
I'm sorry. I can't do this. You have to get out.
What? Do you want me to just jump out? There's hundreds of thousands of snakes below, and I'm trying to pour my heart out to you, Martin.
Elliot, I'm sorry. It's just, okay. Ugh, can you just tell me that you're not a vegan, and I'll just ignore it, and we'll just move on?
Well, I guess I could lie.
Yes, please lie. Please, I'm begging you to lie.
Okay, well, what I did was I picked up that Philly cheesesteak, and I ate it while Vince wasn't looking.
Okay, and...
Now that I say that, I think we should probably cut.
Well, that was fascinating.
Yeah, so Vince, let me just clarify. I completely made that up. That's not true.
I know it's not true because I witnessed you strike the sandwich from the man's meaty grip.
I'm sorry, you guys. The confessionals usually go a lot better, but also everyone here is not vegan, so I've never run into that before.
Hey, we can't fault you.
Do you usually try and kick people out of the gondola when they're thousands of feet in the air?
I've never had to, okay, Elliot? I've never had to.
Well, I hope yours went a little bit better, Vince.
That's yet to be seen, but...
Oh, did you have the camera on for that one, or... Is that just the audio?
I had the camera on, but naturally I had the shutter closed.
Oh, okay.
All right, hey there, listeners. This is Vince McNally. I'm doing my gondola confessional with none other than Martin Fuller. And we are, what would you say, 29,000 feet up right now, Martin?
About 29,000, yep. Very good. You're a smart boy.
My grandpa always used to tell me that, but Elliot would frequently disagree. Elliot and I disagree on a lot of things, Martin.
Yeah, Elliot's a monster, if I've ever met one. We did one of these, I'm sure you know, right before this, and you're a brave man for hanging out with that guy.
Hey, he's a good guy at heart, but, you know, he's got a mean streak, Martin.
Do vegans have hearts? I don't know, I thought hearts required meat, and if he's not eating meat, I feel like he just probably has an empty cavity.
I've woken up in the night to see him staring blankly, unblinking at me, holding a stalk of lettuce.
It's horrifying. It's horrifying. You're brave. You're a brave man.
Some days I go to the bathroom to shave, and painted in pickled radishes and tomato paste is a horrible grimace on the mirror.
How do you cope with that kind of a creepy, creepy visage?
A lot of quiet sobbing, mostly.
I don't think it's bad for a man to cry. We're very progressive in that way here in Colorado. Okay, you ever need to cry, you come here, you can cry openly in the streets, and you will be accepted and embraced.
Hold me, Martin.
Oh, I can't really move, so you're just gonna have to grab onto my arm here. I hope that's gonna be enough for you.
We should cut. Let's cut.
Hey guys, I had to pop out for a minute while we were playing that clip. Vince, do we have any more tomato paste?
We're out, Elliot. We're out forever.
I'll just make do. Hold on. Okay, I'll finish up that later. That was an enlightening experience, I think. And my favorite part was really just riding the cables, as they say, and riding around town. Martin, have you ever had any well-known or famous people in your gondolas?
Probably. I've had a lot of people claim that they were Tom Hanks, but, you know, the voice has changed, and I can't imagine he's visiting us that many times, but one of them probably was Tom Hanks. Also, I do know for sure that Penn from Penn & Teller, does come here a lot. He has a very distinct smell to him. And so I know for sure it's him. He's never with Teller, though.
Maybe Teller just isn't saying anything, and because you can't turn your head, you can't see him.
No, I'm pretty sure he's the one that doesn't talk.
Teller's the one that doesn't talk. But so his pen confessed anything to you?
Well, yeah, he confesses a bunch of stuff about Teller. So if Teller's there,
oh, that'd be really
they have a very interesting relationship. Yeah, it's mostly just talking about how Teller is a sex addict.
That's pretty well-documented phenomenon, though, to be fair.
Sex addiction?
Teller's specific sex addiction.
True. So maybe he's just telling a good story. I'll ask him next time he comes in.
Spinning a yarn or winding a cable, as they say in Venice, Colorado.
It's interesting to hear the stories from other people in this world of ours. And I venture to guess that a few of our listeners have something they want to tell us of their own, Elliot.
I bet they do, Vince. We should get to those in a segment we call Wouldn't You Like to Know?
So Wouldn't You Like to Know is your weekly opportunity as a listener to write in to us and our guests with your specific questions, queries, and inquisitions about the town that we're staying in. We have time to read three each and every week. This week is no different. I actually have the first question right here.
Oh, really? Go for it, Vince.
It comes from Jamie in Texarkana, Arkansas.
And so what does Jamie want to know?
Jamie wants to know how the people of Venice maintain such an intricate network of gondolas. Isn't maintaining them a risky proposition?
Yeah, this is actually what most of our industry is based on. One, building the gondolas. Two, running the gondolas. And three, funerals and other kinds of unfortunate healthcare, things like that, based on gondola-related injuries and deaths.
Are any of these deaths related to being bitten by poisonous snakes or falling into pits of snakes?
If I could be completely honest with you, not a single person has ever died from a snake bite in Colorado. Most of the time, it's, indirectly, people will kind of go crazy because of the shame that is surrounded in this town by if you are bitten by a snake, you are essentially branded with a scarlet letter. That has been devastating for a lot of families. So people will jump off the mountain. People will fight a mountain goat, and that's always a losing battle. Some people have went to live with the mountain lions, and we count that as a death. But they usually get along pretty well. There's a pretty good tribe up a few miles from the church.
Well, and I've heard ever since Slytherin House moved to Venice that basically joining that house is considered, you know, dying.
Yeah, I don't, with most of the town being against that kind of rhetoric, I don't know how we haven't been able to kick them out, but they have some very good lawyers.
Well, and all you guys are strong, well-meaning Hufflepuffs around here, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah, there's a couple Gryffindors mixed in, and we have one Ravenclaw, just a token Ravenclaw, but most of us are Hufflepuffs, and I guess we can be a little bit of a pushover sometimes.
Fascinating. Well, it sounds like a pretty dangerous job. Hopefully they're well compensated. Thanks for your inquiry, Jamie. Elliot, do you have the next question for us?
I do, and let's see. This one is from Michael in Bixby, Wyoming.
Another Bixby write-in. I think that might be our third or fourth write-in from Bixby.
You know, it seems to be a popular name. It must be up there with, you know, Springfield or Bobbinsdale.
What does Michael have to ask from Bixby?
So Michael says that he is a huge movie buff, so he is so glad that we're in Venice, Colorado. I'm not really following, but I'll keep reading. He says,
Can I just say right now, if this question is about Deliverance, I'm going to freak out. We get a lot of people coming here, going on tours, asking where Deliverance was filmed. And I'm sorry. We can cut this part out. I'm just warning you guys that this might be dangerous.
No, well, I haven't read Michael's letter, but I've got suddenly this strange cold feeling has come over me. It's almost like a premonition. I don't know what it means.
Yeah, definitely a pall has been cast around our RV right now. You know, we echo your sentiments, Martin. We've gotten, Vince, have we gotten this question, two or three times before?
Yeah, I think we're at three different times someone's asked about Deliverance.
You think people would just do their research before taking the time to write in. So, Michael, hopefully, as I continue to read, you have done that. He says that he is a huge Burt Reynolds and John Voight fan. God damn it. Okay. You know, maybe he's like talking about
it could be anything.
Yeah, he could be talking about any John Voight movie or Burt Reynolds movie for that matter. But he says the main reason he loves Venice, Colorado is because of Deliverance.
Oh, son of a bitch.
Oh, cut the tape. Cut the tape, you guys. Oh.
All right, Martin. You're all right. It's just a letter.
Oh, sorry, I ruined your guys' map.
We have tons of them.
That's all right. We'll phone Xander. He'll send one out.
Take all these pins out of my body before we're done with this. But right now, I think it might be dangerous.
Yeah, I don't want you to turn, you know, masochistic over this. But again, Vince and I are frustrated by this as well. Michael, really, just do your research before writing in. No.
Fucking idiot, you fucking moron.
So what do these tour groups do when they come to town, Martin?
Ugh, they basically run for their life because we have a protocol that's pretty similar to when a Brooklynite comes in. And instead of salt, it's basically we break all the glass in the town and we pick it up, we throw it at them. Little pieces and shards of glass, maybe sometimes shoving it in our own body to make us some kind of like spiky armored glass golem of sorts, and we run them out of town, but they keep coming. No, there must not be like a message board somewhere telling people that you should not come to this town. I don't know how to reach these people. It is a constant horror that is brought upon our city.
You know, I have seen a lot of Appalachian Pentecostal people almost bonding with the snakes and the snake pits, speaking in tongues.
Oh, man, we have a lot of fun here.
Sounds like it. Well, Michael, swing and a miss. Sorry to disappoint you, and we expect an apology letter from you, and hopefully a little extra money to offset the cost of that several thousand dollar topographical map that now lies in absolute tatters. That said, If you're feeling up to it, Martin, could you read the last question for us?
Yeah, absolutely. Okay, here we go. This is from Nancy Hardigan, and she's coming to us from Honolulu, Hawaii. Oh, that's fun. Look at that.
Oh, aloha, Nancy.
Aloha. Yeah, very good. Okay. Nancy writes, "Dear boys, I love your show. You guys are sexy." Oh, wow. Oh, you guys got some fans. Anyway. Yeah. Anyway, she goes on to say, "I heard the architecture in Venice, Colorado is absolutely spectacular and one of a kind specific to the United States, even though it does replicate most of what is going on in Venice, Italy." She wonders, why didn't they use any of that when they were filming Deliverance? Are you kidding me, Nancy?
Nancy.
Yeah.
Nancy. No!
Martin, chill out.
Martin, it's okay. No! Martin, it's all right.
No. So Nancy's wondering why they didn't use any of this Italian architecture to be in this Appalachian-focused movie?
Apparently, that is what she's after. As you might know from several moments ago, Nancy, Deliverance wasn't filmed here. Luckily, the architecture here is spectacular. You're right to point that out.
It really is. I mean, there's really every Italian thing you'd ever want here. You've got your Leaning Tower of Pisa's, you've got your exquisite bridges, and, you know, there are actual boat gondolas that you can ride rivers of snakes on. And, you know, Martin, are there any other fun Italian influences in the town?
I'm so sorry, you guys.
That's all right. Are you all right, Martin?
If by all right, You mean experiencing a lifetime of pain and misunderstanding? Then yes.
Well, that's good to hear.
Other Italian things in this town are, we have a small mob that is run by the people in this town that make all of our food. We also have a pope.
You have a pope of Venice, Colorado?
Yeah, not a lot of people know this about Venice, Italy, but they have their own pope that kind of acts in congruence with the Vatican City Pope.
Interesting.
So our pope is a small boy named Jorge, and he pretty much just tells us, he gives us spiritual guidance, and also is the only person in the town that is allowed to own a snake as a pet.
Now that is quite a privilege afforded to a young, special man.
He's 3 years old.
Correct me if I'm wrong. Is this the subject matter that inspired the new CBS comedy drama, Baby Pope?
Yeah, it's pretty much looking at his life exactly. I didn't really agree with the casting of Danny Trejo as the Baby Pope, but I do think he's a great actor, and he can pull it off with the right amount of makeup. We pretty much were in a kind of lockdown for about a year as they did research and kind of followed Jorge around and seed what he did.
You know, you mentioned Danny Trejo, but I have to take exception to the casting of Jodie Foster as his pet snake.
Now, I think actually that was a really good choice. I actually agree with that. I've always wondered why she never got any snake roles. And here it is. I think this is going to be her big break, and she could run the Oscars with it. I think this is the first time that a TV show will win an Oscar.
Yeah, it's pretty unprecedented, but I know that the Academy is just really enjoying the interplay between Trejo and Foster.
It's genius.
Wow. Well, thanks for writing in, Nancy. Your misguided question led to quite an insightful answer. And thanks for everyone who wrote in. Even if you didn't make it on the show, look to our forums. They're being run around the clock by people all over the world, answering your questions.
You guys should screen these, I think. You should start screening these.
Yeah, we've tried to before, but it ends up being just way too much work. We have way too many letters coming in. And,
I'm sure.
What are the odds that half of them will be about deliverance? Apparently pretty high.
You know what I'd like the odds of, Elliot?
What's that, Vince?
I like the odds of us going on to a new segment.
I like those odds, too. And I think you like those odds because it's probably your favorite segment, Vince.
It sure is. Here's the weekly Where's Vince.
So listeners, get ready to explore Vince's favorite neighborhood of Venice, Colorado in this amazing segment. Vince, where did you go?
Well, Elliot, as you know, I like to try to find somewhere that's off the beaten path, somewhere that's unique, even within the unique towns that we visit. And I found myself landing in a special neighborhood here in Venice called Crashington.
What is Crashington?
Crashington, short for Crashington Lows, kind of a juxtaposition to Crashington Heights, maybe, is the neighborhood that sprung up when cable cars crash over a particularly icy patch of cable track, and they were just forced to live their lives in the pit. Now, this has happened over generations. I think the first crash gondola carrying a few families was in 1914. Ever since, more and more cars have crashed, adding to the population. Now it's a bustling several thousand.
So are these crashed gondolas still suspended, and then the people have just fallen out of them into the pit?
No, typically the entire gondola slips off the cable. It's actually fairly important that they do, too, because those cars are repurposed into the homes and businesses in Crashington.
Martin, have you ever visited Crashington?
No one visits Crashington. You can kind of observe from afar. There are a few decks that have been set up on the surrounding mountains to look into the pits. But we generally try to stay away from those people. Now, the phrase, this is the pits, is actually this is where it originated, and it's been turned into something where it's just like, oh, this isn't good. But what it used to be is a lot more harsh description of despair. If something is the pits, it is the end for you, basically.
I can understand why they don't get a lot of visitors down there. It's kind of an unholy alliance between man and snake on top of the already remote conditions. I had to arrange quite the setup to even get down there for a couple days. It involved a squirrel suit and a stolen hot air balloon. I'll save those details for another time, though. In the meantime, I wanted to talk about a particular, you know, area within Crashington, where I spent the majority of my time, and that would be, that's Concussion Alley.
So I think I could surmise what this is. So these are people that have maybe just recently fallen into Crashington, right?
You're absolutely right. Sort of a half of a tutorial spring up tent town, half ghetto, segregating the news from the olds. It's a very caste-driven system down there, and the newest arrivals have to live with sentient snakes who have learned human language and trade through years of interacting with the victims / citizens of Crashington.
Are there any, you know, local snake-owned and operated businesses that you visited?
I think the most well-proprietored where I did visit were all snake-owned. I think my favorite business was called Socks, and it was a business, obviously, of hand-knit socks. The snake family that owns it, very kind, very generous. They only do one sock at a time, but they have a lot of the same socks, so you could buy pairs if you're human. And since they have no arms to knit or sew, they have enslaved an entire kind of company of humans. And they whip them with the ends of their tails, and they're making socks around the clock. High quality product. Fear is a great motivator. I came back with a whole trunk full of them.
Wow, this sounds horrible yet fascinating.
Yes, I think it's important as our roles as journalists, Elliot, to not get involved even when our hearts tell us to. And so I just had to watch and stare as the still concussed gondola victims were driven into sock production.
Wow. Again, Vince, you're one of the bravest people I've ever met for you going down there. I'm assuming you stayed at Slither Inn overnight?
I did. I had a couple nights there. I have to tell you, the kitchen in that place is actually remarkable.
I've heard. I've never been there, but I've heard stories.
Also, snake proprietors. Every night I had the human stew, which I imagine is a colloquial name for just some sort of regular meat stew, but I don't speak snake, so I didn't really question it.
Honestly, I've heard that it is vegan, so you could probably try it, Elliot, you monster.
Well, I would love to. I mean, the name human stew sounds pretty ominous, but I'm up to try anything, especially if it finds its way into Chew on This, Elliot McNally's Food Guide to Small Town America.
Can I say real quick that the only way to be accepted back into the society after being bitten by a snake is to be bitten by one of the pit people. It is the only way. You have to brave the pits. You have to get bitten and then return to the surface.
Truly, what I would imagine is a harrowing experience. And when you're talking about trying things, I think all of our listeners, if they visit, should check out Crashington. And Elliot, I think we know how to get them there with a little help from our sponsor.
That's true, Vince. And that would be in a little mini segment we do called How Did We Get Here?
How Do We Get Here is brought to you by the good people at Map, the Map app, the app that's a map. The forefront of geolocation technology. It's the app that you can download to your smartphone, tell you where to get, where you're going. I've got the directions to Crashington right here, and I'm happy to read them.
Well, and before you do, I think our sponsor, Map, the Map app, the app that's a map, would love us to talk about the featured feature this week, which is numbered directions. Before, all the directions would be randomized, So you wouldn't know what to do first, but now you can actually categorize them.
This is a great leap forward for the intuitive use of the app. Before, instead of numerical symbols, sometimes you get letters, sometimes you get Roman numerals, sometimes you'd get these strange eldritch carvings. But I think standard numeration will go a long way towards bringing people into a great app. And I'm firing up right now. It says, how to get to Crasherton from Venice, Colorado. It says, first, drive on the roads that there definitely are there for 25 miles. Then turn on another road, and there's Crasherton.
That seems, you know, pretty reasonable. Martin, I mean, being a local in this town, would you make any addendums to those directions?
Yeah, the part about the roads is wildly inaccurate, as there are no roads. I don't know what you would be driving on. So I think if they shore that up, I think then you're good to go. Sounds like a great app.
Great. Well, listeners, get that in the App Store. It's $7.99.
That's $799.
Yeah, per 1% download. So you have to pay as it downloads.
But it's a heck of a deal. So thank you for your patronage and for your great product, Map, the Map app, the app that's a map. And thanks for sponsoring our show. You know what, Elliot? I think we learned a lot when we read about how to get to Crasherton.
I certainly learned a lot. But you know me, Vince. I always want to learn more.
That's what I love about you, Elliot. Let's learn more in a segment we call Did You Know?
Listeners, Did You Know is our rapid fire fast facts segment with easily snackable, shareable, digestible little tidbits of information. Guys, I've got the first one.
Let's hear it.
Vince and Martin, did you know Harrison Ford refuses to come to Venice, Colorado?
I had no idea. Why is this?
Well, as we all know, his character Indiana Jones hates snakes. And so on a press junket once, he unknowingly and unwittingly came through Venice, Colorado, and he actually fell out of a gondola. He was allegedly pushed by someone. I don't know who it would have been, but he was pushed into a pit of snakes, and it just he never came back.
He was pushed by himself. No one. I don't know who would have done that. I heard that he did it himself.
His police report said that he was pushed by one of the tallest people he'd ever seen.
That's ridiculous. Because I haven't seen him, and there's no other tall people in Colorado, and that sounds incriminating, but it's not, because he's a liar snake person that should live with snakes for the rest of his life.
Truly, at every turn, a new mystery, Elliot. One of the reasons why I love the job that we do. I didn't know that. Elliot, did you know that Venice has an interesting means of dealing with and preventing avalanches?
I didn't know that, Vince. So what is it?
Well, correct me if I'm wrong here, Martin, but you deal with the avalanches head on, and you have a local militia trained to fight against avalanches.
Yeah, I mean, I think you've noticed a theme. We're a fighting bunch if it comes to it. We'll fight Brooklynites. We'll fight tourists who think that Deliverance was filmed in our town. And we'll fight mounds of snow tumbling at ridiculous speeds down a mountain. We have special helmets that basically are just like plexiglass attached to a helmet. And they create kind of a Roman legionnaire wall with their heads down. It makes their neck very prone. And many people do die doing this, but it is part of being a Venice, Colorado resident.
That seems like just an amazing fight, man versus nature.
Mm-hmm. Yes, and honestly, we're still refining the process. We are, I guess, batting 0.000 against the avalanches at this point, but we're refining the process, and I think we're going to get it down. We have some new inventions, We're heating the plexiglass, thinking that will melt the snow as it crashes into the plexiglass, and so we're hoping that will work.
Sounds like there's some amazing R&D being poured into this effort.
What is R&D?
I believe it stands for Research and Destroying Avalanches.
Oh, yeah.
That's right. That's a fascinating fact. that I didn't know. And I think, Martin, you have the next Did You Know for us.
Yep. I got it right here. Did you know that the actor Alan Rickman is not dead? He actually faked his death to become head of the Slytherin chapter here in Venice, Colorado, and he's fine. He goes by Snape now.
I didn't know that, but I have sort of heard echoes of a almost macabre and baritone voice all week.
Oh, yeah. He has a pretty sick sound system that he pretty much talks into exclusively. So for the past month or so since his death, we've been plagued by his voice calling to the snakes, reading poetry, and sometimes just the snores. He snores. It's horrifying. It's like,
wow, truly a ghoulish, frightening sound.
Well, for someone who's faked his own death, it seems like he's being pretty conspicuous about it.
Well, I think it's a faking of his death, and then also a complete denial and reworking of his personality. He believes he is Professor Severus Snape. And if you mention Alan Rickman to him, he gets sad and he says he was a great actor, died before his time.
You know, I have seen some interviews on late night shows with Daniel Radcliffe, and he keeps saying that he is receiving letters from Venice, Colorado, urging him to come here, and he doesn't know why.
I can't comment on that.
Well, I might have some insight into it, because did you guys know that the FDA often recommends a visit to Venice, Colorado as a cure for fear of heights?
Huh, that makes total sense, Vince. So do people take him up on this offer?
From time to time, and I'm sure that Martin can shed some light on this as a man of the people, a man who's talked to many people and smelled many people. Can you smell their fear, and does that smell go away during their gondola travels?
Yeah, I always know when I have a group of people that are there to overcome their fears. And what I do is I take them on a series of trips. The first one, it's a lockdown, a complete lockdown. They're in the car, they can't get out, and we basically just listen to their screams of fear and horror for about 30 minutes. Then the second trip, we unlock the doors, okay? This time we bring them up, they have the ability to jump out if they want. And I must say, most of these people make up. They add to the population of Crashington. And but some do make it through, and that's where the third step comes in. And that's where I take them on a third and final ride. And usually that one goes fine.
Wow, well, that's amazing. You know, I think it just shows that the city of Venice, Colorado, although there are some literal pitfalls, it's really taking strides and helping people overcome their fears.
Well said, Elliot.
And guys, with that, did you know, although Venice, Colorado is based and is the sister city of its Italian counterpart, there is one particular Italian influence that you see time and time again in the town.
What is that, Elliot?
A very well-known Italian thing in Venice, Italy, are organ grinders. And that's, you know, the guy with the monkey with the cymbals and the accordion playing various music and stuff like that. Did you guys know what that is?
Oh, yes. Very familiar. Yeah.
So yeah. The organ grinder in Venice, Colorado is completely different, and I've heard it's exclusive to Crashington. And so what an organ grinder does is take all the people who have fallen and grind them up into human stew.
Huh.
But that's just what I heard.
What would they use that for?
I mean, the stew I ate was certainly not comprised of human flesh.
Oh, no, so that's ridiculous.
That's absurd. I imagine it's just their crude, snake-like form of cremation services. We can't really speculate. I didn't spend a lot of time in that part of the neighborhood.
Well, you know, that's just my fact, and you guys can take it or leave it.
Maybe you should stick to just facts instead of speculation, wild speculation, to support your insane vegan agenda to make everyone feel guilty for eating meat.
Yeah, Elliot. Did you know is no place for wild conjecture and soapboxing?
Well, I did find a finger in that stew that you were eating.
I'm done with this conversation. I want to hear this.
Okay, well, we can be done with that and move on to our final segment.
Listeners, that's called Wish You Were Here.
So, guys, we know that you can't come with us, unfortunately, on our journey, but we have one small gift that we like to impart to you from every town we travel to.
It's an audio postcard from us to you, the listener, and it goes a little something like this. Dear listener, wish you were here in Venice, Colorado.
A town that is sister to Venice, Italy, and has no roads, only an elevated gondola system.
A town where you can get from place to place with a great view of the Rockies.
And a town where one Martin Fuller will take you there.
Town where if you step wrongly or encounter a little bit of in-flight turbulence, you could wind up sleeping with the snakes.
And a town where if you're sleeping with the snakes and living with the snakes, you may or may not be eating humans.
Farewell from these parts to yours.
Hey guys, thanks again for listening to These Parts. Be sure to join us next week when Vince and I are in Lake Church, Rhode Island.
Lake Church, Rhode Island, a town with no lakes and no churches, stands to be a fascinating one. Don't miss it.